Welcome to Pursuing Truth. I'm your host, Barry Watkins. Hey, this is Barry. Welcome to Pursuing Truth. This episode, we're going to talk to my friend Tina. She's a former Catholic and is now an atheist, and she has a pretty cool story. She talks about how the Da Vinci Code books were influence on her journey, and so that was interesting and got her to question things. And now she's the head of the local atheist group that I'm a part of. And so I think you're going to enjoy this conversation. Thanks for joining us. There we go. We're recording. Woohoo!
Here we go.
I know. Yeah. It's so exciting. You know, I'm a shy person, actually. But
that actually surprises me.
I don't know. People don't think I am. And my brother says I'm an extrovert who thinks he's an introvert. I don't know. I've always been like, yeah, scared of people. But yet, you know, I really try. I do really try hard to be nice to people and things like that. But sometimes I'm a little awkward, and I'll say things that sound rude to people once in a while. So yeah, it's that awkwardness, I guess.
I spend more time going, oh no, that's not what I meant.
Okay. Yeah. What is your personality like?
I love being around people, but I am very introverted.
Okay.
Socially awkward, but not like that cute, what's her face from Thor? Like, you know, oh dear, okay. I am so embarrassed. Like not socially awkward like that. Socially awkward, like my tongue just stops working for no reason. And
yes, I hear you.
And I blurt out. And knowing that line between too much information and being incredibly vague, I can't find it. So
okay,
it's just like either you like me or you don't. What can I do?
Yeah. it's cool. My I'm learning to be myself with people, I guess. I don't know, they say that's kind of a key, right?
Yeah.
Just be yourself, you know. But sometimes I wonder, you know, who am I? I haven't found myself quite yet. You know, I'm only 58, so.
I was actually listening to, do you know who Mike Birbiglia is?
I've heard the name, I think.
He's a stand-up comedian, and he has a podcast. And I am really not into listening to podcasts because of the conversational nature. It's like, I want to get in on it. But it was his guest that time was Gary Gulman, who those two are literally my favorite two comedians. So okay. I listened to it, and one of them quoted Armstrong. They were quoting a famous jazz musician who said, it takes a lot of practice to be yourself.
Yeah,
and I was like,
okay. Louis Armstrong must be.
Louis Armstrong, I think. I think that's who he credited as saying it.
Wow, cool.
But yeah, it's figuring out how to just relax and be is not easy.
Yeah, I think that's true for a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, we were talking about, I guess, that we would talk a little bit about your life, like right now, what you're doing, what is up with you, and the kind of stuff you're involved in, you know, and just for people to get to know you a little bit, you know.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm going to school. I'm on hiatus right now. For some reason, at 39, I decided to go for a degree in astronomy and astrophysics.
Yes.
It's a little embarrassing
so
after a while,
because
it's like, it is so cool though. Like when, you went to college, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. You went in, right? You're taking class and you're like, oh, I know this stuff already. You know, I read whatever. And then you start learning and you're like, oh, it's a lot more detailed than I thought it was. Okay. And every time you think you're wrapping your head around it, it's like, oh no, there's so much more. So I really
love especially that. Those subjects, right? The astrophysics and astronomy, it's pretty in depth, huh?
Yeah, well, I haven't gotten to the actual astrophysics yet.
I
I'm still in
gotcha.
the physics part.
Yes.
Yeah, and because I didn't know right now, I was taking physical mechanics, which is like physics on steroids. And I had no idea what to expect. And it's everything I've heard, like you, it's everything we've already learned, just more detailed and in 3D. And I mean, we do a little bit of 3D in physics one, but this is it, yeah, it's just harder.
Yeah. Yeah, my math that got me was calculus two, I think. I had some trouble and I kind of fell behind and I like had to drop it and take it over again. Yeah. The second
Yeah.
time I got a B, so that wasn't bad, but
Yeah, physics too. I if I got like 0.1 less, it would have been a C. So I was like, I'll take it. I don't care.
yeah. That's cool. Yeah, what else you got going on? I know yeah, you're involved with the local the atheist group, right? So you kind of head that up, don't you?
Yeah, over the summer of 2020, Chase had stepped down as president because he was having a baby. So Steve nominated me, and I became president, and everything fell apart.
Well, 2020, right?
Yeah, we lost a library, which I don't know if you got the message, but we're fi our library meeting is finally back up.
Yeah.
That will start in January. That is our flagship meeting,
Okay.
because that's where people get to go and speak freely and, you know, talk about things that frustrate them or their experiences. And, you know, we mostly talk about church state issues, but
Okay.
we always try to leave room for discussions every article we go over. When I first started there, it was just kind of a free for all. They would read the article and just the loudest person got to speak. But
Yeah.
so many people would send us private messages saying, you know, I really enjoyed the content, but it's hard to speak over people. So we did the conch. We have the conch now. And you know, after we go over a news story, we pass around the conch. So if someone has something to say, they finally get to say it.
Okay, that's
But
cool.
yeah.
That's great, yeah.
Oh, so excited for
Yeah, I
that one
haven't
to
been
be
to any of
back.
those, so I just went to the pub meeting that one time. So that was really fun. I enjoyed
Yeah.
meeting everybody there.
Yeah, that was a good idea. Trying to think, that was Jeff. Jeff started that, and for a while it was so busy that we had to have two, because we were
Okay.
getting 22, 23 people showing up, and restaurants were like, yeah, no. So, yeah, we used to have two. We're back to one. It's still kind of small. We're good, but we may have to go back to two again eventually.
Yeah.
We
Yeah,
just
that's
gotta find
cool.
it. But yeah, I like the venue, but it was so much nicer when it was in the back.
Yeah. You said they started live music in the back is why you moved.
Yeah, and well, every place now has live, and that's the thing. I kind of screwed up that one because it used to be Tuesdays.
Okay.
And for some reason, I was like, "Oh yeah, it's Thursdays," so I just scheduled on Thursdays, and that's the night that everyone has live music.
Well, it was good when I went. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, I love the venue there though. I do. I just miss the back.
Yep,
Yeah.
and so you're married to Chris.
Yes.
How
yeah. Yeah.
long
I
have
mean,
you been together?
we got together in 2009.
Okay.
It was about 6 months after my excuse me, after my divorce that we, you know, kind of started dating and finally. You know, because we were hanging out a lot, but it didn't feel right to do anything at that point. So,
Yeah.
you know, it was just so far, so close out of my divorce. It was like,
Yeah, I can relate. So I was married for 19 years and
oh, wow.
I didn't get a divorce, but my wife died.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, she was like what? She was 49. And so it was an untimely, kind of a shock.
Yeah.
And and it was unexpected, things like that. So it was wild. And so I started over, and I was kind of like lost for a while, and of course I can relate to the feeling of, because I started seeing Mary, my current wife, and pretty soon after that, actually, it was only a couple months after that we kind of got reacquainted, and we didn't go out, didn't date really, but we went out as friends and stuff. And I just needed a lot of time. I needed probably about a year to kind of settle,
Oh,
and
I'm
figure things
sure.
out,
Well, can I, do you mind if I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Oh, now,
I
were
mean, I
you,
don't mind.
oh yeah, oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Were you an atheist when your wife passed away? Do you feel like it made grieving easier or harder?
I don't know. I don't know how it would have been the other way, because I had been out for a while, but as far as my beliefs had changed, probably like 8 years, no, 6 years before that, I guess, that I had kind of realized I was an atheist. And so at that point, it wasn't, I don't know what it would have been like the other way. I really don't. I do remember when family members died and stuff before that time. I always took a lot of comfort in the idea that I'm going to see them again, of course, that's something I miss, that idea. It's totally,
It's a comfort, but I guess I found that grieving after I no longer believed was easier
No kidding.
because you know how you go through that guilt of the things you never, the things you wish you said or did, or the guilt phase of grief. Without thinking of them, overhead looking down, like I have nothing to apologize for. Like I know it's all internal. Like I can process it as regret as opposed to,
Yes.
I hope they know what, they knew. They knew I loved them. But yeah, I just wonder
Right.
how other people process it when,
Yeah. Well, for me, I'm going to say it took me so long to process things. I'm a slow learner, apparently. I don't know. It took me forever to actually stop praying. I would still pray out of habit, and I would be like, "Well, God, if you're there, please, I hope you can hear me," kind of thing. And then I actually talked to my wife a lot after she died. I was still in that kind of a mode, like, well, I hope she's there. I don't know. I don't think so. So it was kind of a weird in-between phase for me, I suppose. And it took a while to really accept, that idea. Oh gosh, I guess I'm not going to see people again that have died, and that was a hard one for me, actually. Very hard.
The hardest loss I had to process was my lifelong friend. Our parents, we met because his mother and my father were really close friends in high school, and we were born 4 months apart, so we grew up together. And then right before his 30th birthday, he took his life.
No.
And that one, I was out at that point, but it was still early. Like it was probably within the same year that I actually said out loud, I'm an atheist. So yeah, it was like that, like I would talk to him and hope maybe I'm wrong, there is a God, so I'll see him again or whatever.
That's
But
right. Yeah.
yeah, I can understand that. I know losing a spouse is definitely harder because it's just so much of your life,
It's hard for people to relate to that feeling, for sure. I remember a few people I've talked to about it that they just can't imagine, and I can understand that, but I mean, I survived. Thankfully, I'm still here. You know, I made it, and and I, had to put pieces back together. Really, my life was in pieces for sure. So, it's taken a lot of healing and all that. And I don't want to minimize the grieving people feel of any kind because I know it's hard. And I can't relate to the idea of losing my parents yet. I still have both my parents my wife lost both of her parents, so it's kind of like I'm learning through her how that is, you know. So different kind of a feeling, you know. And
It's all different, everyone, I guess, makes you a different part of you comes out with each person. Every person in your life brings out like a different part of you, and then when they're gone, you don't know how to conjure that person anymore. You're like, okay, well, I guess a little piece of me went with them.
Wow, yeah. That's interesting. Yeah.
But
Yeah,
I
for
mean,
sure.
my mother-in-law, she's my husband's father's girlfriend. They were never married, but she's my mother-in-law. I love her, but she was with his father for 30 years, and I know she's still having a hard time with that. He passed away in 2012, because when that kind of relationship, they're literally a part of every part of your life. I genuinely do believe like losing a spouse is probably one of the hardest.
I can imagine. I can only imagine. So yeah. Well, so what else is happening with you? I've met your husband. He's cool. I like him. So what kind of work does he do again? He's like in construction, isn't he?
I know finances. He's an
Oh.
accountant.
Okay.
He loves numbers.
Okay. Yeah, one of those interesting people. Yeah, my first wife was into
He's
that.
well, she really she was a
She was a
accountant.
bookkeeper. So she did all of our finances for us. She was really into it, you know. Of course, I don't have any finances to do anymore, so that's good.
That's nice. I mean, he took that job. I was like, I will mow the lawn, weed the garden, paint the house. I don't want to do the finances. I can't do it.
There you go. Yeah. Well, that's a perfect match then.
Yes, that's really it right now, other than the horseback riding, but that's only like every other, and it's not serious. I'm never going to be competing or anything.
That is awesome. Yeah, tell me about that. How did you get into that?
Well, when my youngest was going off to college, she wanted to go horseback riding, and that's something I'd never done, always wanted to, just never did. And so we went up to a farm in Merritt Island, and we had gone horseback riding, and as soon as I got in the saddle, I felt like it just felt awesome. It was just so right. And then I couldn't If we had empty, we had an empty house at that point. My oldest lives in North Dakota, my middle lived in New York, and my youngest was off to college, so it was just the two of us. So I said, we have to do something. And we were initially doing it together, but he's like, it's just not my thing. So
You've stuck with it. That's
I love
cool.
it.
Yeah, that's neat.
Have you ever been horseback riding?
I have, but very little. Yeah. So just on one trip, I remember. I think I've only done it maybe that one time. It was a high school senior trip, and we went to a ranch and got to go horseback riding up in the mountains. That was neat.
Oh,
Smoky
that had to have
Mountains.
been beautiful, though.
It was cool. Yeah, that was cool experience. And then we did a little rodeo thing, you know, just a fake, you know, little barrel thing where you rode around the barrels, you know, and that was neat. So I was able to do it, but yeah, just barely. Yeah, that's cool. I'd like to do some more of that.
There's a few places that I'll recommend after.
So what do you get to like run fast and jump and things like that, or?
I just started jumping.
Wow.
It's like knee high. It's up to my knees. It's not really high jumps yet, and
Yeah.
it's still in trot. I'm just last year in May of 2022, or April of 2022, I was learning to transition into the canter and fell off.
Okay.
And I landed on my hip on my side, and I don't know if I bruised my tailbone or maybe fractured it, but it still hurts.
Okay.
If I stand the wrong way, I can feel it. But so it took
Yeah.
me about a year to work up the courage to try the canter again. And working it up, and I finally did like one full complete ring around the arena cantering, and
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God.
That seems so dangerous to jump with a horse. Oh my gosh.
And my coach has been on horses since she was a toddler. She doesn't understand the fear.
Okay.
And I'm like, she's like, okay, so you fell once, you know what it's like, you survive. You have to let that go. I'm like, you don't understand. I'm creeping up on 50. I'm not immortal anymore.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine the feeling of that might be like kind of like surfing, you know, like when you catch a wave and it's like, oof.
Oh yeah. Yeah, except the wave is launching you out of the
Yeah,
There's a
it's like
lot of
catching
body
the wave over
mechanics.
and over, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of body mechanics that I have not mastered yet.
Okay. So we were talking about your story as far as religion and everything, and I wondered if you wanted to share some of that. That's what I've been doing a lot of that on this show.
Yeah.
So, and one of the things that I've been doing these interviews for is a few things. One is I think there's a need. Well, for one thing, I've found that in talking to people and everything, sharing your story with people can be really a really nice thing. I don't know if you've done that a lot. And for me, that's why I started the podcast, was to share my story with people. And it was like I had to do it. It was like it was a thing that I just needed to get it out, you know, kind of thing, off my chest or whatever, and let people know who I am, you know, because religion is such a important thing in most of our in a lot of our lives. I mean, or it was, you know. And so yeah, I don't know how you feel about that, but the you know, so that's one thing, is giving people an opportunity just to share something maybe that a lot of people don't get that chance to just give it all, you know, tell the whole story, you know. And and then also I feel like it's really helpful that people hear these stories, you know, people from all walks of life, to understand what it's like, you know, to lose your religion or to be religious and then lose it, you know, and what it's like to live without God. I know for me, I was really, I had the Bible, you know, shoved down my throat for years about those things like, oh, if you're not a Christian, you know, your life is going to be miserable, you're hopeless, you know, and those, you know, people that don't believe in God, they're just angry people, and
They're angry at God, or
exactly, you know, and all those cliches, you know, that we hear. So I was, you know, that's another thing I like to do, is, you know, talking to people about this, helping people understand I'm, you know, we're real people. You know, and because because atheists, you know, it's like this scary word, actually, I think, for a lot of people, right?
Well, the people that say I'm not an atheist, I'm an agnostic, because you
Yeah.
can't possibly know. It's like you it they're mutually exclusive terms. They don't mean the same thing.
That's right.
Atheists don't walk around knowing there's no God. There's just, if you're not actively practicing faith right now, you are, or belief, you are without belief. You are without. So you're an atheist. Just be okay with that.
You
Okay.
want to kind of start early on, like how you grew up and things with religion and all?
Well, my family is half my family is Catholic and half my family is evangelical or Pentecostal. And it's funny the different seeing that the two different beliefs side by side was always interesting because my aunt was very like you need Jesus kind of person, you know, and that was her answer to everything. So I already grew up in a world where there wasn't just one religion. And my father was an atheist, but and it as a child I was terrified that my father was going to hell, you know. It was like, oh my God. But yeah, I was a pretty solid believer when I was little. My mom told me I used to say things like, Mom, Jesus told me everything's gonna be okay, you know, at three.
Wow,
I had a few imaginary friends.
yeah.
And when I was in high school, I had made a group of friends through this guy I was dating. And, you know, they were really awesome people. It was the metal crowd. They're always the coolest. And they were, one of the things they loved to do was like sit around the table, drink coffee, and just talk. And through a lot of discussions, I kind of moved more over to the, you know, agnostic. I'm not really committed to anything, but you know, I don't know. And then I had my first baby, and that was a religious experience. And I was like, there's no way there could be this much beauty in the world without God. You know, I went
Yeah,
full
right.
force back into the Catholicism.
Okay.
And this is kind of a little embarrassing, but during the hurricanes of 2004, were you here for those?
Yeah.
I was, you know, counting on not having electricity for a while, so I went out and bought a bunch of books. And at the time, the Da Vinci Code was really popular.
Okay.
So I bought Angels and Demons and the Da Vinci Code, and I had read them both before the hurricane hit. But it was like that was like chipping away at Catholicism for me. Because he says in the beginning of the book, I'm going to make it obvious when I'm actually speaking factual. You know, there are some things I'm going to make up for the sake of the story, but and he always did. There was always like a step before his character would launch into some kind of explanation. And I started looking up a lot of the claims, like about there was, like it wasn't like Jesus was born and. It was Christianity. It was hundreds of years before it became mainstream. I didn't know that. So, you know, I started reading into that stuff more and more and more, and I was like, okay, so I don't believe in this whole Catholicism thing anymore. And then in 2005, I had started taking a class. I attempted to go back to school at that point, but my kids were too little. I couldn't devote the time I needed. But my first class was composition and rhetoric. And they have a critical thinking section to that. Like there was like a one of the topics was critical thinking. And the example that they used to describe a circular logic or circular reasoning was the Bible is not proof, it's the claim. If you say, you know, of course God exists, the Bible says so, that's circular. And I was like, wow. And probably like by about the end of 2005, 2006, I was like, okay, I'm an atheist.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. So, as far as how that progressed for you, what kind of things did you go through in that period, as
I
far
would
as rethinking things, I guess, and
that I went through the confrontational angry atheist phase where like no one could mention God without me being like there is no God, you know, it's really unpleasant.
So it sounds like you almost flipped a switch almost. It was like, wait a minute, boom, there's no God. And really, I mean, it was pretty fast.
Well, no, I mean it took 2 years because the process started 2004. And in that time, it was before I was comfortable even like scratching the idea that there is no God. I had seen, did you watch the Penn & Teller show?
No, I've never seen it. Wait, now they did magic and stuff, right?
Yeah, they had a series. I think it was on HBO. I can't remember the name of the show.
Yeah. I guess I had seen them doing magic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't see that show, I guess.
Well, he had an episode where he said basically he's like, there's no God. And he put a helmet on with a lightning bolt. And he's like, if there is a God, strike me dead, you know, like
Oh
challenging
my
God. And I was
gosh.
like, oh my God, oh my God, he's doing it. And I wasn't quite an atheist at that time or ready to admit it, but that was definitely a part of the process.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I got into, I was pretty isolated at the time. I was still married to my ex-husband, and my only social life was really whatever friends he dragged home from work. So, when we split, I was desperately trying to find ways to meet people because I was alone, and I tried to start an atheist group on Craigslist. And one person responded, and this guy was just out there, just he didn't believe in God, but he believed in everything else. So it was,
So
yeah. And
that
yeah, that was fun.
was a bust.
And I was probably around 2009, I was an active member of the James Randi Educational Foundation Forum. And I had mentioned, like, how do you meet people? And someone said, meetup. And I said, what is that? And, I eventually joined meetup, and I was floored to find out that there were actually atheists in Brevard County.
Already, huh?
Yeah. And yeah, I joined them, and probably about a year later, the president and secretary were leaving. They were moving, and they needed replacements, and I got asked to join as the secretary, and then Chase at that point became the president. And then yeah, I got really active with them because it's just they're good people. There's a lot of good people in that group,
Yeah, that's cool.
yeah.
Yeah, what did you like about the group? What how did that benefit you, like joining that group, I guess?
They were also smart, for one. Like, I barely, at this point, I didn't think I would ever go back to school. I barely graduated high school. I thought I was just dumb. And I'm around all these people that just know all this stuff, and a great sense of, like, they're funny, a great sense of humor. But the first meetup I went to was Friday Fest. They had heard that you could rent a table at Friday Fe you could like rent a space at Friday Fest, and they wanted to go check it out. And that was the day I met them. And we walked around, and we actually got stopped by this religious group, and they're trying to preach to us. And I this woman, she just like honed in on me, and she's trying to like ask me all these questions. And she's like, yes, but God says. And I was like, which God? Because there's thousands of them. And she's like, the Christian God, the only God. I'm like, oh, well, say that to Vishnu. I was like, well, tell that to Vishnu, because Vishnu is their God. I really didn't know that much
Vishnu
about,
is very popular.
but we were just. We were trying to be nice about it, but they were getting a little confrontational, and so we just kind of left. And then we went to the place to grab a bite to eat, and that was the first time I got to sit around and actually talk to them. I hadn't met Steve yet, but I had Doug was the president at the time, and he, being a proper leader, was engaging with me. And I was like, these are really good people. I really like these people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And oh, the second meetup was when Florida Tech used to do the the public lecture, public science lectures. And I was like, okay, so they're into space too. Like, these people are great. So,
I've been craving connection
yes.
with people live. And ever since COVID, I guess I kind of like, we were isolated so much, and then working at home a lot, not even getting to go into the office, a lot and things. It really wore on me. And I was talking to Bill Fisk about it the other day, about finding your tribe. It's
Yes.
kind of like we humans, I guess, we're tribal by nature, I think. And we tend to, really want to find a tribe of people that we can relate to, and connect with on the same level, and which is nice. So I've really enjoyed connecting with a few people like that,
Yeah.
And so I'm really wanting to do more of the in-person stuff. So yeah, I'm ready to go this Thursday.
I can't wait. Yeah, I'm actually thinking of doing another meetup. I just have to figure out the logistics of it because it's going to be hard because I want an intimate setting. Just because I want to do like a mental health check-in because so many people that I've spoken to since we've gotten more active are saying the same exact thing that I'm feeling. Like I longed so much to be around people during that time, but now I keep passing up on the opportunity at the last minute. I get this like anxiety. I don't know how to do this. I don't want to go. And if I'm hosting the meetup, obviously I can't because that would be rude. But I feel like COVID really did a number on us,
Yeah, you're right. I feel
mental.
the same. Yeah, I drive an hour one way to work 3 days a week. So that's a
Oh.
lot of time in the car. So that's I started listening to stuff, and I listen to YouTube videos all the time. And yeah,
Yeah.
that's my main input these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
What about
if you
you?
haven't,
You you're a reader, aren't you?
yeah, avid. Sometimes I shouldn't be reading at that moment, but if I can recommend a book series, I believe they might have it on audio now. The Expanse.
Oh yeah, I've heard that's really good.
Best sci-fi I've ever read.
Yeah, I watched the show up until the last season. I haven't watched the last season yet.
They left it hanging. They really left it hanging, and it doesn't. It really diverges from the books from that point. I mean, I understand why they had to do it, but yeah, I love the series. I've watched it so many times, but
That's
yeah.
cool. So the books go on more, they share more, I guess.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And they play with physics and biology, and I love the way they do it. It's really cool. Like every book has that. Oh, that's so creative. Yeah.
I know. I loved it from the beginning. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
Oh.
different. It's a lot more, it seems like it's a lot more accurate scientifically, the way they do things.
Yeah. Yep. I follow a page, a fan group on Facebook, and it's really cool because the admin is she's actually an astrophysicist. So when people are like, how did this work? She went into this whole long explanation, explaining what happens to your body biologically when you're in, a hard vacuum, and it was just crazy to me because I always thought, the way the movies have it, you get spaced and you turn into ice and float off. But no, you don't freeze to death. You'll die a horrible death, but it won't be freezing.
Yeah, it's more of like exploding, right? It's kind of like
Well, your blood boils.
yeah, that's right. So, gosh, yeah, blood boiling and all that. That sounds exciting. I love that series. And I liked the different, like the accents on the different planets and stuff. I thought it was
Yep.
pretty neat. Yeah. How that would happen over time, right? It's kind of like,
Yeah. Well, they have like they call the language that the Belters speak, it's a Creole. It's a mishmash of a bunch of different languages, and they really did well with it. The interesting thing is the game, the series actually started out as a platform for an RPG.
Really? Okay.
Yes, he was coming up with a story for an RPG, and he had showed his friend, and he's like, "That'd be better as a book."
Oh, wow.
And the two of them came together and wrote it under a single pen name. So, and but the whole first book is just a dialogue between two people, really. And yeah,
Cool.
it's
Cool. Yeah. What other kind of reading do you do?
I do try to get some nonfiction in there somewhere. I haven't read a nonfiction book in a while. I started reading the American Crusade. That's terrifying. That is absolutely terrifying how coordinated stacking the Supreme Court was.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I don't have the headspace for this. I will read this when I'm mentally better.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it was terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, mostly sci-fi, but I do love historical fiction. Yeah, and fantasy.
Do you read Lord of the Rings and all
No, I actually ne I've never read any of those.
that? Those are great. Yeah.
I've heard they were good.
Yeah.
I probably will someday. It's like kind of an obligation, but the fantasy books I read were there were books based on the World of Warcraft video game.
Okay.
And they were actually really good, the ones that I read. My favorite was, I think it was Night of the Dragon or Day of the Dragon, I forget, but
Oh, yeah.
it's a good one. But mostly right now I'm diehard NK Jemisin. She is an amazing author.
Yeah, what does she write?
She writes science fiction. Her books, her series, The Broken Earth trilogy, that is she's the only author in history to be awarded the Hugo Award, which is the highest honor in sci-fi, 2 years in a row for
Whoa.
for that book
Awesome.
series.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I highly recommend that one.
Can you tell me a little more about growing up Catholic, what that was like? Now, how serious was your family Catholic? I mean, I know there's a lot of variation, right? There's a lot of
Yes. So my grandparents were Catholic enough to never get divorced,
Okay.
but not too Catholic to stop having babies with other people. So I do have family I've never met. My grandmother actually, she had three children after he left, and she put two of them up for adoption, which was it was a hard thing for my mom to handle, but and my grandfather proceeded to have two children with another woman, and no one knows who they are.
Oh my.
Yeah,
But they didn't get a divorce. They just
no,
separated.
yeah. Well, you know, it's against God's rules to get a divorce.
That's right.
But I mean, we had crosses all over the house. You know, the morbid crosses over every doorway. But we
Oh,
didn't. We were Catholic on Christmas and Easter.
yes.
And my mom would make us give up soda every year for Lent, and it was like, ugh. But when she was choosing where I was going to make my first Holy Communion, she finally settled on this one church about a half hour away from us because she didn't have to go to church for me
Okay.
to. So,
Very interesting.
yeah, we
Well,
really
and then,
weren't diehard
yeah.
Catholics, you know. But
Yeah.
I like the rituals. I still love the rituals. I love that stuff, and
Yeah. That's
can't
cool.
like
So
the
you go now and then to church still?
no, I don't. And this is because I don't get out of bed on Sundays.
Yeah. Well, that's something I've really gotten used to is being home on Sundays. I really like that. Sleeping in a little bit and being like, wow, do we have any plans? No, that's nice.
Actually, the reason why I hated going to church, because my aunt would take me to her church every once in a while. And the pastor is always much more lively. You go to a Catholic church and it's very like doom and gloom, really. I did like going to the Pentecostal church because the pastor just seems so personable and lively and exciting, but everyone wore perfume and I hate perfume, so I'd be like gagging
Wow.
and headache. No, I hate, don't like church.
So you said half of your family was Pentecostal. How did that work out? So you have cousins and things, I guess, that were Pentecostal?
Yes.
Okay.
All my cousins on that part of the family, there's three of them there who are, I believe they're all still to some degree. I know my cousin Dawn is pretty dedicated. The Catholic, I'm not sure what my other aunt was, 'cause she went to a Baptist church, but I she's like, I'm not Baptist. I just like the past the minister past. I don't know much about Baptists. I believe my cousins from that aunt are like very casual believers. Like, yeah, there may be a God kind of thing. Like, they're not really.
Okay.
So, but my aunt would constantly preach to my mom, and
Okay.
my mom would be like, not again.
Okay.
Like she definitely believes in white Jesus. So her description of Jesus was very sounded very much like Don Johnson, really. But like it didn't cause any problems at holidays. We still got together for Christmas and Easter and all the holidays, and it wasn't like this friction. It was just my aunt was trying to save everybody.
Yes, right.
And
Wow.
it would get intolerable sometimes.
I'm sure. Yeah. So I grew up kind of Baptist early on and then Pentecostal later.
Okay.
Well, from 11 years old. So, and then from that point on, I was pretty much charismatic, Pentecostal, and tongue talking, all that, it was crazy. So I understand that part of things. And then the Catholic side of like Catholic religion is very new to me, but my wife was raised Greek Orthodox, which is very Catholic, you know, it's very similar. And so I've gone a lot to those services, and then my granddaughter now, Nicoletta, is going to Catholic school, and so I've been going there a little bit to see her sing, you know, and things like that. And she's going through, I guess, right now the what are the it's classes that they're doing once a week to get ready for communion, I
Oh,
guess, in the
CCD.
spring. What is that?
CCD.
Yeah.
CCD. Yeah.
Yeah, what does that mean? Catechism or
Yeah,
something?
catechism. I don't remember what the D is.
Okay.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, so it's all the basics, but yeah, it's pretty interesting. And they almost, you know, it's weird because I'm sitting there the second time I went to this, I was sitting there and it was almost sucking me in a little bit. I was thinking, yeah, this is actually, there's some things about it that are attractive. You know, one of the stories was about, and I posted some of this on the Facebook page, but one of the stories was about the prodigal son and how he went away, and you know, but the father was waiting for him the whole time, you know, and so when he comes back, the father runs out to meet him and all this, and it was such a touching story about God's love, you know, and forgiveness and things, and it was like really getting to me. I was sitting there, oh my gosh, I forgot about some of this stuff. then I had to shake myself. I'm like, yeah, no, this is not, they're not going to get to me.
Not
I've
this
got,
time, Jesus.
nope, not this time. Because it's like, yeah, I mean, it's there's parts of it that are attractive to me,
Yeah.
but I'm not, I just, you know, I'm not, I can't get over the everything that I've learned that, yeah, it's not real. I'm sorry. It's just not, you know. Yeah, so that part bothers me, you know. It's kind of like, yeah, that would be a tripping point. It's just not real.
That whole reality thing keeps getting in the way.
Yes, for sure.
I
So
mean, I could, it is inviting, and like, but okay, for when I was taking world religions, I had to go to a church. We had to attend a service of a religion we were not raised in. And I initially wanted to do go to the mosque, because I know nothing about Muslim practices, and I didn't know if it was going to be a problem, me being, I don't know how it works. I don't know if they pray separately, or so I sent them a letter and they never responded to me, and I was running out of time, so I had to pick something. So I picked the UU. And it was awesome. If it wasn't so early on Sunday morning, I would probably go. They don't have like a set minister or past, they don't have a set leader. They have people come and do like a TED talk kind of thing. And they sing songs, and they're nice songs. And there was this one little kid that just caught my eye, because he was just a beautiful boy. I can't describe it. Like, he had this golden skin, he curly, like longer, like shoulder length, like shaggy curly hair. And I just remember, like, it was, it had like golden streaks in it, and it was natural. It was natural. He was a little child. I don't think they were dyeing the kid's hair. And amber eyes that just, like, you could see them from across the room. And I was like, wow, that little boy is beautiful. And I'm in the back. I'm trying not to be disruptive, but in front of me, there's no hymn book. So I'm looking around, and this little boy looks back at me, notices that I don't have a hymn book, and he goes, "You can use mine. I'll share my parents." I was like, "Oh my God, I love this kid." He was just a it was just a sweet experience, and I like it. It's all the beautiful things about going to church without the deity.
Yeah, I've heard
And
that. I've heard it's really good. Yeah, a lot of people really like it.
what I really like about it is they have a request that you don't wear perfume, so
There you go. Wow. Somebody else felt that way, obviously.
well, they try to be very, very accommodating there. There is no wrong way to live. And they were saying, we do have some people here who are believers, but their church rejected them for their lifestyle or their identity or whatever. So they come here for that sense of community, and they're still worshiping in their own way. And I love that. I love that about it. And nobody's like fighting, or it was a beautiful place. It was a nice experience.
That's cool.
And but
I've been kind of interested in that. And one of the things that interests me, I think, is the idea of learning from other religions, you know, and learning from religion in general, the good things, pulling it out of there. And, you know, yeah, so that part of it, I think, is interesting, and it may be valuable. And it's something I've been thinking about is the what I'm missing. You know, I can feel it more now lately that I'm missing something. Now that I left, you know, religion was such an important part of my life. It was basically everything to me. So when I left, it was a big change. It was a big shock. But also it took a long time to kind of reprocess, okay, what is life all about now? You know, I don't know if you went through that too or not.
I became like a nihilist.
Okay. Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and so that's part of what I've been going through really recently. is just thinking about, what religion does for people that is positive, because why do we have it all around the world, and why is it so universal, and what is it about it that keeps people believing, in the face of all of the reasons not to believe. And to me, I think the hope that it brings people about the afterlife is huge. You think about that. I think that's maybe the number one thing. I don't know, but for me, it's kind of the biggest thing that I miss about it, was that idea. Oh yeah, I'm gonna live forever, But and the reality of, gosh, I guess we're not gonna live forever, is weighing more heavily on me now, I think, than ever, because I'm getting a little older, and I'm thinking, gosh, is this all there is? And so it's a little bit of a crisis for me right now, honestly.
Oh,
So
okay.
I feel like I need to, I may need to go get some counseling or something, but it's something I feel like I need to work through, and I think I'll come out on the other side just fine, but it's, for right now, it's a little bit of a struggle,
That's actually, that sounds like there's a poem written, and I cannot remember the guy's name. He was clergy. I think it was in the 16th century, called Dark Night of the Soul. And what he's describing is a loss of connection to God. Like he just didn't feel God's presence anymore. And he had to go through it. And he came out in the poem, I believe he came out on the other side with stronger faith. And but the phrase "dark night of the soul" now comes up in psychology, comes up in the philosophy, and it's really that's I think we all go through that every once in a while, where it's just like everything collapses. Yeah, what does it mean? Who am I, and why am I here? You know, so I was you're going through a secular version of the dark night of the soul.
And then, so now you mentioned nihilism. So where are you with some of that?
Okay, let me just say first, I've never taken philosophy. I'm going by the strict definition of an existential nihilist. There is no inherent meaning to life. We are just here. That is so liberating to me. That is just that you make your meaning. You decide what your life is going to be about. You decide how you want the world to see you. You decide who you want to be. It is all you. And just coming to that was probably the hardest thing. Let me go back, because there was one part of growing up with devout family members that actually really kind of screwed me up hard. When I was 14, I was hit by a car, and I almost died. It was bad, but my two main injuries were I think I told you the lower part, I'm a below the knee amputee. My left leg was amputated, and I had a traumatic brain injury. And I was 14, and I remember my aunt telling me, you know, God chose you. And so I thought there was this reason for that. It felt good to believe that there was a reason for this. So I waited 20 years to, well, not, yeah, 10 years to figure out what the hell God did this to me for. Like, what was my purpose? There was no purpose. It happened because life happens, and there's terrible things. But that letting go of God was kind of that feeling of, then I'm letting go of the idea that I'm special. I have a purpose. I have, you know, God chose me for something. And it was really hard to let that go. That was really hard. So that's why I think the nihilism was so liberating, because it was like, okay, all right, there's no meaning. That God didn't choose me for this. Somebody hit me. It was an accident.
That's wild.
yeah.
Yeah, too. That's been, and I'll say that's been liberating also for me, of accepting that, that, wow, it's really, it is up to me what I make
Yeah.
my life. It's not dictated by someone else. And that's part of, it's kind of responsibility too that we're taking.
Yes.
It's like, wait, I don't have a ready-made recipe of my life, like how I do things. And
Yeah,
it's kind of like, that's very different, isn't it?
you have to go through and be like, well, if it goes wrong, it's my fault.
True. But it's also like rethinking everything about life, has been fun. And so like rethinking morals and okay, wait, why do I believe this is wrong or that's wrong or this is okay and that's okay, or this is good, this is what makes a good person.
Yeah.
Or, and how do I arrive at those things? How do I make those decisions? And a lot of it, I feel like, comes through proper reasoning,
Yeah.
is a good start, right? It's like, oh, okay, this is why I shouldn't kill people. There's lots of good reasons not to kill people other than just, oh, God says don't kill people.
Yeah, beyond prison, it's
I
not a
know,
nice thing to do.
it's not a nice
Yeah.
thing to do. That word nihilism, sometimes I think of that as being like this depressing thought that, wait, there's no meaning. In other words, why should I live?
Yeah.
And it's not always that, right? So you corrected that. So there's this nihilism of, yeah, there's no inherent meaning,
Yeah.
but I can make a meaning. I can make
Yeah.
a meaningful life. So,
Yeah. Just
yeah.
decide what you want. I mean, I'm not one of those people that's like, just happy thought your way into everything, but
Yeah.
figure out what you want, what you can do to make the world more appealing to you.
Yeah, right.
And do as little harm as possible in the process, but
Sure. And then I've gone through some things too, which I really love, of really appreciating the good things that we do have, and part of that to me has been that difference between, okay, this is the only life that I really ensure that we have. I better live it, I better enjoy
Yeah.
it. It's not high in the sky, oh, things will be better someday. I better make it better now.
Yeah. I can't now. I'm trying to think of an example of like moral ambiguity. Those get hard. Like, what is
Yeah.
the right thing to do here? How do I do the least amount of harm? If you're in a religion, you're like, well, that's just against the rules of my religion, so I won't do it. And when you don't have that, it's like, what is the right thing to do here?
That's
Just
right.
having a hard time coming up with examples, though.
Yeah. Well, it's so pervasive the way religion dictates so much to us. And it's so much the easy way out, I think. I feel like
Yeah.
it's super easy to have everything kind of spelled out for you. And I can look it up in a book and be like, oh, okay, that's what the book says.
Yeah.
And
Okay, let me see. Yeah, I'll do that.
yeah. And now I realize, wow, this book was written by flawed people. I can't take their advice all the time. I need to look into this myself.
And you also, whenever you look at the rules or the organization of any religion, it always seems really fortunate to me that the people who are writing it and making the rules also happen to be the people who are at the top of the food chain. That
That's
like,
right.
how fortunate is that?
Yeah.
In Christianity and or in all the Abrahamic faiths, the men are at the top. Weird that they wrote it. The Hindu, they have the caste system, and the top of the caste system are the scholars who just happen to be the ones writing the rules. How fortunate. Lucky them. There was actually a guy who joined the meetup years ago, and he said he had invented a religion, and it was the Church of the Good Life.
Okay.
And If I let me see if I can remember this. We were put here by aliens. We're actually like a food farm. Earth is a food farm for the aliens, and they're going to come back and devour us at some point. So, in the meantime, we have to make the most out of life, which sounds great, except women were put here to please men. Dude, really? How fortunate that you're a man and you invented this religion that men are at the top again. Wow, how strange.
Yeah, that reminds me of Mormonism and Joseph Smith made up this new religion, and oh yeah, I get to have as many wives as I want to. That's pretty
Yeah.
cool that God told me that,
How fortunate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Coincidentally.
Yeah, I mean, it's just they didn't make the rules. They're just writing what God told them.
That's
How
right.
lucky.
Yeah. What else would you like to talk about before we get?
Actually, you posted something earlier today
Okay.
that set me off on a thought, and now I cannot remember. I think it was a meme. I'm going to, do you mind
Yeah,
if I
sure.
just look? Because I actually wanted to.
Is it the one about the woman saying that men should be misogynistic?
No, it was actually the religion can be a comforting drug, and I
Oh,
do
God.
miss, which I'll tell you. In 2017, I had to go for the imaging of my abdomen, and they found a mass on my liver, and I had to go for the contrast CT, whatever, and then wait like a week and a half of the results. And in that time, I'm thinking, oh my God, I have liver cancer and I'm gonna die. And it was at that, like, that's what it triggered, that feeling I had. It the whole week and a half I was waiting to hear that, it's not cancer. I wanted to pray so bad. Like I wanted to feel like I had some kind of say in this, like some kind of control.
That's right.
And it made like I forget what it felt. It's been so long. I forget what it felt like when I did believe in God, that there was some kind of input I had. I could just like pray and God might answer my prayers
That's right.
and some miracle will come along and save me. And without that, it really does suck because you have to really, really face the possibility of not existing anymore. And it's
Yeah. Yeah.
that was a rough 2 weeks. And I could, as you were saying earlier, like it's tempting sometimes. It really, really is.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just I think about it, it's funny. It's impossible to go back though, because like when you know too much, it's kind of like, for me, that's where I am. It's kind of like, gosh, yeah, I could never go back to really believing, because I just like I've seen the man behind the curtain,
Yeah.
when I go to church, that's how it feels. It's like, oh yeah, this is all just men doing things. It's just people. It's not God doing
Yeah, it's
anything.
like that. Do you ever have a friend who you had a falling out? They said some horrible things. You make up, but you really can't get past the horrible things that they said. So it's like I can't unknow this. I
Yeah.
we're
There you
It's the
go.
same thing. It's like breaking up with a friend.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's never gonna be the same again, quite. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's sad, right? No, but
Sometimes it's not.
yeah, that's right. All right, well, this has been great. I've really enjoyed this.
I had a lot of fun. Thank you.
I feel like we took some twists and turns that I totally didn't expect, so that's been nice. And
Yeah.
good to get to know you a little bit, so
Oh yeah, good to know you too. And yeah, come to the Sunday meetups because they really are kind of the whole purpose of it was to replace church.
okay. Yeah. And
Yeah.
that's, you said starting in January again?
Yeah, it's the first Sunday of every month. 1:30 is when we start.
Okay.
It's the front room in the library.
Cool.
Yeah,
I
and we
can
have
do
coffee
that.
and donuts.
Yeah. Well, that's not so early in the morning.
Yeah.
All
Yes, it's a lot better.
right. Well, I guess we'll sign off.
All right.
And we'll talk soon, okay?
Yeah. And
All
see
right.
you Thursday.
Okay.
All
All
right.
right, have a good night.
You too.
See you later.